please dial star 611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hacker Spaces. This here little radio program about Hacker Spaces.
Hello and welcome to Talking About Topology. This is the first live show we're doing here on this program, and we revisit a topic we had 4 months ago, which was the Tunisian Revolution, and I'm very glad to welcome my guest again, Fitos. Hello, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm good. Good, pretty good.
Yeah, if you're listening live to this show, then you can join us on IRC, Freenode server, channel Hackerspaces Signal. And yeah, it's been 4 months. Maybe you give us an update about what happened in Tunisia, because the coverage in Europe was not that good, because we obviously had the Egyptian revolution and afterwards some other news items which popped in. So maybe you can give us some update.
Yeah, well, what happened, so there was a lot of revolution, actually. There was the first one that Ben Ali escaped, and then we were stuck with the government that was actually the same government that was working with Ben Ali. So it was like a no-no situation, and we had to try to fight it to get some change. And then the prime minister remained the same, but he changed all of the government, but he wanted to stay there. So we had to fill the streets again and work like, you know, about a month to fill the streets and get him out. I think it was February 27th or 28th. And then we had another prime minister, and he did some change in the government. Some ministers from, like, you know, the last push was to remain there. And so far, he's there from March, I think, March 1st. So it's been like a month and more than a month and a half. And two months. March, April, May. Yeah. So it's like a month and a half. And there's a lot of struggles yet. The future is not clear. Although, so far, what we did is that there is a constitutional election, like a constitutional committee to be elected, and they did the electoral code, because the electoral law of Ben Ali was so corrupt that it was not of any use. So we came up with a new electoral law, and the election should be on July 24th, although there is no confirmation on that date. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not confirmed yet. And there is risks that they're going to push it later on. There is a lot of risk. And situation is not very good. Situation is not very good.
Mm-hmm. Give me a moment. I'm hearing that we are not on the stream. Okay, good. I got wrong information from GMC. It looks like we are on the stream. He just sent me some stupid stuff. Okay.
It's all right.
Okay, sorry for this, for the short interruption. But that means that my setup is correct. Because
good.
I spent a lot of time in getting this working on this shitty machine here. To have music setup, Skype, and live stream all on the same thing with monitoring. So where have we been? I wanted to ask you about these elections. How many parties, political parties, are there to be elected?
Ooh, yeah, there was like a huge fad in Tunisia. Like everybody was opening up a political party. And that was actually one of the reasons we could not fill that much the streets. I mean, we've been able to, with other groups, fill up like 600,000 on 10 million, you know, it's not bad. But so there is like almost 63, I think, 65 political parties today in Tunisia.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's like a huge number, yeah.
It's incredible. Wow, you have many pages of voting paper, you mean?
Yeah, there's they're all talking the same thing, you know? They're like, we're going to give you all the freedom you want, we're going to give you the justice, we're going to give you the work, you know, like economical development and jobs and, you know, better medias and better transparency. And like, you know, nobody's actually saying anything correct. I guess there's a lot of liars in them. As a matter of fact, actually, even guys that were ministers and guys that were actually involved in torture and are opening up political parties right now. So there is a big mess with us. So as a matter of fact, like Facebook is playing a big role. Because a lot of, like, when I say Facebook, because it's like in Tunisia, there's almost 2 and 3 million people connected on Facebook. And it's actually, when you say internet in Tunisia, it's pretty much Facebook. Wow. So that, like, you know, the revolution was built on Facebook, and all the videos that people couldn't see on the TV because Ben Ali was blocking the TV and everything were seen on Facebook. There was Al Jazeera a little bit that worked for a while before it moved on Egypt and the other revolutions. So yeah, on Facebook, like, it's making a good work on, like, you know, trying to decipher. Like, you know, trying to find out which party and who are the presidents of those parties and who are the board of those parties and which one is better than the other, which one is actually, like, you know, sure corrupt and which one is not. So there is a lot of work on that. Although, yeah, there's other struggles more than the political parties. I think there is a big struggle with police. Mm-hmm. Police is rebelled. They know they're in power. Ben Ali protected them a lot. They were his arm of dictatorship, because Ben Ali was in Castel, you know, he was staying there in the presidential palace, and he was not on the streets, like, you know, enforcing dictatorship on people. So there was all these belts around him, and police is a big belt and it's very strong. We have 200,000 policemen in Tunisia. Most of them are corrupt. Most of them are, you know, they've experienced, even if they didn't do it, they've seen or heard or know information about torture, about aggressions. So what happened is that police rebelled in a bit, and they were like, you know, they opened the prisons again. They did some two or three cases, two for sure, and maybe a third one of rape against the civilians. They did physical assaults. They repressed a lot of the protests with a lot of anger and a lot of, a lot of violence. They repressed peaceful protests. Corruption is still going on. And, the police is one of the big struggles we have right now.
Mm-hmm. So how can one imagine this? I mean, we all know that Ben Ali escaped, but all the middle management, people from the second or third level, they're still in power. So you didn't have much change in the middle management, as one could say.
Yeah, that's the big problem right now. We made Ben Ali escape, and now that we have thousands of new Ben Alis, you know. so it's kind of, they were actually, you know, respecting one guy and going in line, and now they're kind of battling among each other. But at the end of the day, yeah, the citizen, the poor citizen, the, like, you know, regular citizen is paying the bill. I don't know. The problem is, like, yeah, with justice. Justice is very slow and it's corrupt as well. There's lots of judges that are corrupt. A lot of counter-revolutionary, like, power is, you know, they don't want the truth to be known. Nobody knows who made Ben Ali escape, like, for sure. We have our information about that. But nobody, yeah.
What's with Ben Ali? I mean, did you get hands on him? Is he in exile?
Ben Ali is in exile in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And there is a, like, until not late, he was actually in good situation there, and actually no judgment was made against him. I mean, they judged him for some money laundering, very little money laundering, or having like offshore accounts or something like that, you know. But wasn't like serious a serious case against him. And now we're hearing that his case is gonna go to military court. Maybe they're gonna do something with him. I think they issued at least a international warrant. Mm-hmm. But I don't see this government, interim government, doing any pressure on Arabia Saudi to get Ben Ali back. Neither on his family, who is staying in Qatar and staying in other areas. They're in Canada, some of them. They're not pushing on it. They don't want him to come back, get judged. Because otherwise he will, you know, some part of the truth will be exposed. And they will be at risk. See? So, yeah, that's actually something that a lot of people are still thinking about it, and a lot of people are not happy about it, the way of handling all this Ben Ali thing, you know. Because, you know, like, people get angry and they get vindictive, you know. They want revenge. And knowing that Ben Ali is there, and knowing that no clear signal was made to these officials and, you know, all these politicians and all these old people, that, you know, if you're going to mess around again, we're going to put you in jail, because there is no jail sentence so far. There was 2 years jail, nothing like between like 15 years, like for big crime, you know. They give like a big sentence and the guy is in jail for a long time, so that it gives a signal, it gives a message to everybody. If you're going to mess around again, or if you're going to mess around in the future, it's not going to be the same like when it was with Ben Ali. So that message is like, you know, is needed. Especially that there are going to be elections. Now the interim government is given like a dual talk. On one side is saying, listen, you're going to be able to elect your guys, and after the election everything will be all right, and give us time, and, like, you know, as if you're going to elect some people, justice will be made like this, you know, all of a sudden. We don't believe in that. And the other thing, like the other side of the talk they're keeping, it's like, oh, if you're going to do protests, or if you're going to keep pressure on us, we won't be able to fill the commitment of the July 24th elections. So it's like, oh, if you're going to protest again, oh, you're going to do harm the elections. And, you know, so they, like, they're keeping the people kind of insecure. Lately, there was some supposed terrorist attack, and one colonel at the army died. Was like, it wasn't clear, you know. It wasn't like, you can't say it's 100% true. It might be some dirty game or false flag, you know, saying, oh yeah, there were terrorists, that like there was the army, like the guy, probably the colonel at the army, knew some information or something, and he was about to talk, and they kind of liquidated him. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I find it stunning that they used the election as a pressure instrument against their citizens. I mean, if you're not obeying, then we won't let you elect a new government. But, I mean, at least Ben Ali is gone, and he never will come back to Tunis, at least not in the government. I think that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, are there any new figures, any persons which symbolize the protest movement and which could lead the country into a post-revolution future?
The Ben Ali will not come back, but I think knowing what exactly happened is important. Knowing who... where the most corrupt in Tunisia is important. And the post-revolution, I don't know. I'm not sure that there is different type of revolution. There is revolution for youth. For us as Takris, our revolution is aiming for very high things. There are people that their revolution was just to get rid of Ben Ali because he was putting too much pressure on them, and even preventing them to steal more than they want. Like, you know, preventing them to steal as much as they wanted. So now, like, you know, As I told you, Ben Ali left, and many people, they see it like a revolution. All right, now we have the power. We don't have Ben Ali, so we have more power. See? So it's different types of revolution. There are people now talking about the religious revolution. They're saying, oh, yeah, Ben Ali was putting all these people there, prayed, and people that were like Muslims, like toward Orthodox Muslim, let's say like this, then like not even Islamist, but like Orthodox Muslims, and they're now they're seeing, oh, we kicked out Ben Ali, now we can practice our Islam as we want, and we can preach, and we can take over the mosques, and it's ours, and we're gonna push our political messages in there. So it's, I don't know, the media as well. The media is very corrupt, and all of a sudden, they don't have the Ben Ali fear, so now they're doing whatever. They're doing alliances with other political parties. They're doing alliances here, working there. They're still very, very, complices of the current interim government. So they're covering everything and just making the same articles we used to have on Ben Ali. Now they're making them on the army general who made Ben Ali escape. They're making the same articles on the prime minister. They're saying the same thing, you know. Political parties. The political parties are now seeing that, oh, they were prevented from doing politics. Now that the revolution made Ben Ali escape, it's their revolution. That's like a politics revolution, and they're only, and that's why there is almost 65 parties, or 63 or something like that for sure. And they're like, you know, it's a battle. It's like the very dirty battle they're playing, and like, you know, and it's very tiny parties like this, and you don't understand anything.
Mm-hmm. How is the Pirate Party doing in Tunisia?
Oh, the Pirate Party actually is doing well. was able to deposit a legal file. Mm-hmm. And it got its receipt.
So what happened? Did they pass a law or did they enter government? What did they
do? Pirate Party, actually, you know, there was Slim Amam who entered the government. He never entered the government as a Pirate Party member. Mm-hmm. He was actually, I don't know, it wasn't clear. He was there just because they gave him a position and some salary and some power, and he was so happy about it and all the buzz that he got. So now the Pirate Party actually filed in about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he got 1 or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, 10 days maybe, he got its receipt, and now it has to wait for approval. But the fact that we have the receipt is something very positive. Because since before Ben Ali, they didn't even want us to, you go to the desk and give them, listen, this is the file, this is all the, you know, the statutes and the... everything, all the senior like signatures and everything, take it. And they would say, no, we'll not take it. You know? We wouldn't take it, you know, because, you know, there was Ben Ali, and there's only like a couple parties that Ben Ali approved, and that's it. No one else could register a political party. Now we're able to do it. We did it. We don't know. They might whine on the name, because we kept the name on Pirate Party, and it's like, you know, even the guys at the police guys at the Interior Ministry, you know, these police officers, whatever they are there, they were like laughing about it. But they were laughing about it. It's like, what's Pirate? And do you think you're going to get approved with this name? I said, yeah, we'll get approved. And if we're not approved, we're going to put pressure, you know. And even if it takes 1 year, whatever, we don't care. We want the party to get registered. We'll see. They might, they have up to 60 days to answer, and they might answer before, because I was really, we had two lawyers from the party working on the statutes. It was made in a way that they won't be able to reject it, except maybe for the name. And even if they ask us to change the name, we're not going to accept to change the name. We're going to go back to the streets and try to put some pressure that way. Mm-hmm. And some medias, and I hope that the European pirate parties and American pirate, like foreign pirate parties, will help us put some international pressure on the interim government so that the party gets registered by the name. Especially that all, like, you know, most of our members at the party were very active in the revolution from day one, you know. they were very active in the streets, very active against censorship, so that the videos gets out to Al Jazeera and everything, because Al Jazeera in the beginning, they were not allowed to send journalists there on the ground. So we were working on that. We were collecting the media and taking the videos and doing all the technological things to bypass censorship. We were in the protest. The reason we filed it lately is that we kept on staying on the streets and doing, like, you know, resistance, so that as we cleaned as much as we could, you know, from the old government. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, it wouldn't be fair if they rejected. Seriously, I had the chance to look at the statutes and everything. I didn't work on the statutes and all the legal thing. I was busy with other things, but like, you know, since they are my friends who deposited, and I had the chance to look at them, and there is no way they would say, oh, this is not possible because of this or because of this. It's like completely 100% perfect for approval. Except the name, they could say, oh, this is like pirate, and what are you meaning by pirate? And, you know, I might whine about that. We'll see. I'm sure they're doing a lot of research and intelligence, because there is still those political, like the Stasi-like police we have there, and they're trying to understand, is this like a terrorist group, or is this what, or they're hackers, or they're, you know, trying to understand. And
do you have any information on secret police or information agencies in the state? Has the situation changed for them after Ben Ali?
The secret police in Tunisia, no, it's still there. Although they said they dismantled it, it's still there. Every day there is a kidnapping for several hours. Now it's like softer. So they go to a Facebook administrator, bloggers, they kidnap 2 or 3 a day. They take them, they ask them questions, who's that, who's that, who's that, you know. They don't beat them up, but they kind of put a lot of psychological pressure on them, you know. And why are you putting this? And why are you putting this picture of this, you know, mock-up picture of the prime minister? Why, you know, trying to make their presence felt by the people that have the loudest voices.
Can you give us some impression from the situation in the streets? How is it now, as the revolution is a few months behind?
Oh, streets, yes. The streets is... It's interesting how it evolved. It was very compact up to the 14th. Then they issued, like, the government, whatever happened in Tunisia, there was this, there were fires everywhere. There was, like, Tunisia is a country where we used not to hear a fire gun. It's like, you know, never happens. There's, I think, maybe 1 or 2 a year died by fire guns or were shot by fire guns, you know. All of a sudden, there was this revolution. There was 300 people at least that died by fire guns, firearms for police. Mm-hmm. And then after Ben Ali left, that night, there was these cars. It was like a police cars, military cars, we don't know. They were like driving around like crazy and shooting everywhere in the air, and people were like scared, you know. So we had like to organize like neighborhood committees, protection committees with youth. Like, they blocked the streets and they were like trying to see who's like trying to get those guys out, you know. And they were like, you know, they didn't go from once like, you know, point A to point B or trying to escape to some borders or something. No, they were like terrorizing people. So after that, the compactness of the street, like, you know, the numbers of protesters reduced a little bit. There was the first government was still good. And then, like, all of a sudden, step by step, like, the people, the number of people still acting on the streets reduced. Mm-hmm. And what happened lately is that we returned back to very big, aggressive police. So there was 2 or 3, one sitting attempt that was like, you know, there was beating up, tear gas everywhere, shots everywhere, you know, and people were a little bit scared. Second time, same thing. Police was beating up like journalists, foreigners, girls, guys, even kids, you know, 5, 6 years, 7 years old kids. They were not in the protest. They were like, you know, the police just did like a big mess And afterwards, they raped one guy. They, like, you know, who was in the protests a lot, so he was known on the protests, and they took him out and they raped him. And, you know, he's still now trying to go to court. I think he'll be going to court very soon, tomorrow or Monday. So the streets now is very empty, and the people are afraid. Many people are afraid, except some very radical youth and some youth that's like very that fears for its for his revolution. You know, that the youth that fears for its revolution, the youth that did the revolution from day one. Mm-hmm. Those are still very active, but many are afraid. They're afraid of chaos. They're afraid of terror, because there was a supposed terrorist attack that only two military died and one very high rank military. So yesterday, and they said, no, these are Islamists and they were coming from Algeria, although, like, you know, we don't know. Mm-hmm. There is fear from economy, and that's those sit-ins and protests are going to, you know, the country might not be able to pay its salaries or something like that. There is fear of a dictatorship. That a new kind of dictatorship comes if the protest continues and there is like riots and becomes like, you know, police attacks and there's counterattack and something that, like, you know, might become military dictatorship, might become like, you know, a dictatorship after the elections. They don't know. There's people afraid of the rebel police, you know, because if you go on streets, there was people, civilians, not even linked to any kind of protest. They were on other streets, you know, very far, like, you know, some, like, I don't know how many meters, like 200, like, let's say 500 meters away from the protest. You know, they were beaten up by the police still. There's fear of the truth. There's many people, they don't want the truth to get out because they're, like, kind of affected, will be affected by it. So there's a lot of fear. That's the problem. So now we return back to the situation. It's different than when the time of Ben Ali. Time of Ben Ali, it was a fear of something. Nobody actually did anything except us online and, like, you know, some of our groups in the stadiums, and they, like, you know, they insulted Ben Ali or something, you know, in some chants, and they battled with police because police was very repressive on the stadiums. And now the stadiums are not, there is no public in the stadium, you know, the attendance is limited. It's actually, there is no attendance. They forbid the attendance in the stadiums. Of fear that there's protests or riots or something against the police. So all I know that people are fed up. Many people are not happy. Many people are not happy, but they don't know what to do. Protests on the streets, sit-ins, we did everything and nothing changed. So it's kind of making it, you know, kind of tough. They, whenever we ask for something, we get nothing. Or they ask seven things, we get half thing, you know, and the police is the same. So it's like, you know, physical integrity of the people when they go on the streets protesting is not very easy to defend. Our groups got into fight with the police. It was like, yeah, there was some, you know, after the police beat us, has beaten us in the protest, there was like whenever a policeman got into some neighborhood or something, he was beaten up. So it was like, yeah, we retaliated, kind of. And there was some police station that were burnt or something, you know, and there was some retaliation like that. So they did the curfew. They did the curfew for 3 days. I think it was lifted yesterday, the curfew on Tunis, the capital. Tunis and, like, you know, the neighborhood. So the capital and the neighborhoods were on curfew till yesterday. Now the streets are empty. Like, yesterday the streets were empty. It was like 3 days now that the streets are empty of protests and any political type of protests. The funny thing about this government is that whenever you do a sit-in or a protest asking for a salary rise, if you're asking for getting a contract, mm-hmm. if you're asking for anything that's social, you know, anything that's related to money, social status or something, they let you, they put you on TV. Yeah, it seems like they're happy with that, you know? Whenever you do a protest or a sit-in or a rally or something with political demands,
yeah.
What they happen is that they repress you. No TV exposure at all. You could bring in, like, I don't know, 10,000, 15,000 people. You don't get any TV exposure. Some very little paper exposure. And then you get the repression, and then you get all this political police that gets inside the thing, and then they send you sometimes the TV, and then they send in the TV with the police, political police, or people they buy with the streets out of the protest, and they bring them there, and they tell them, oh, no, say we're protesting for Libya, or we're protesting for a money, or we're protesting for something, you know, and they hijack kind of the reason of the protest. So that's like something, yeah, something you can feel. And it's actually making it tough for us now to move, because we have to wait for them to make another mistake. We cannot actually, you know, we cannot rally people, because people are kind of, there are people that are fed up of protesting. There are people that think that said it's lost, that, like, you know, they're very negative about it. There are people that are hoping that things will clear up by itself, by themselves. There are people who are, like, fed up of protests, and they say, oh, no, you're, like, harming the economy, and stop protesting and stop whatever. And that's the message of the government, actually. The government, whenever there's a government official on TV, he talks about, oh, how protests are very dangerous for economy, and how Tunisia is getting into, like, you know, this touristical season is going to start, and if you're not going to stop these protests, it's going to be harmful for the image and Tunisia, and no tourists is going to come. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's going to harm a lot of workers. And although, like, the protests are very clean, as far as I've been into and I've seen, and they're clean and they're very peaceful. And there's actually that, like, you know, it's the police that's making the mess, you know, all the time it's police that making the mess. And that's it. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's how it is right now. Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me that also the politicians are quite afraid. And I want to compare the situation to Egypt, because you had the military there as a neutral position. And they at least stepped in after the Mubarak left the country or stepped away from power. And they also went against the protesters after Mubarak. And were criticized for it. But at least they created a stable situation. And I mean, I don't know what how this situation now developed later on. I know that they were also criticized later. But in general, I think you have to come back to, more, how to say, stabilized situation in the country, to rebuild it, to remodel it. And I would like to go to this constrictive thinking, and what are the strategics? What are the targets in the middle term? I mean, maybe you need this diversity in political parties, because it's been a long time until people really could engage in their political interests.
Well, actually, if we can get more people to engage, it's going to be better. But as far as we see it, even the political parties are not getting engaged in it at all. They are negotiating with the government, actually, more than engaging in anything interesting, you know? They're, like, you know, making many people are fed up of these political parties, because they did, like, a consulting committee for the government, where they put in, like, a lot of people from the political parties and some, like, civil society members that were not actually a representative at all. They were not elected. And they're, like, you know, they keep making a show out of nothing. You know, they stayed for months for an electoral code, and even the electoral code was not approved by the government. They changed it, you know. So whenever they try to pass something that the streets ask, the government changed it as it's we asked for 10 years ban, political ban on whoever worked up to level 3 politicians with Ben Ali, from Ben Ali's party. That didn't pass. That didn't pass. They changed, they reformulated it in a way that some of them might still open up parties and participate in the election. And that's what happened now. They have political parties, you know? So it's these politicians are not making it. It's very old class of politicians. They were not active at all in the revolution. They were not active at all in the revolution. And now they're kind of feeling like, you know, they have kind of a weight in the society, And they're trying to talk to you. Oh, you don't know. We know what to do, and we know what to do, whatever. And they're not making anything. I mean, right? Their reality, whatever we have today, what we have enhanced today, is nothing. So yeah, that's actually. But they're asking also everybody to stay calm and go to work and stabilize the thing. Yeah, we want to stabilize the thing, but how can you stabilize the thing if you know that some Benalese ministers are still able to go to the elections and they have the money and they have everything? You know, they have the TV, because TV is theirs. The three TVs are theirs. And so it's like, yeah, it's dangerous. For the how to, like, that's what we want. We want more civic engagement.
I'll actually play some music now for a short break, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
El himno de la hidalguía, el himno de la conciencia, el himno en la permanencia de la eterna rebeldía. El que no claudicaría en las décadas horrendas para seguir por las sendas del coraje y el decoro, siempre crecerá tu coro mientras nuestra alma encienda.
Territorio hundido en el lodo presume de que existe democracia, igualdad social, liberalismo, socialismo, real mentira, puro fundamentalismo. Siglo XXI, más dominación, abuso de poder, maltrato, traumatismo. Dictaduras, matonismo, policial, censura, salvajismo. Escasa libertad, ataduras, discriminación, desigualdad. Maldita sociedad, escupe la verdad. ¿Acaso es esto comunismo, ídolo del socialismo actual? Sí. Tú dominas a tu antojo, impones tu doctrina. El país se contamina, la fuerza nos extermina y no acaba de explotar la mina. Democracia decadente, sí. Manipulación de voto, burguesía permanente, sí. ¿Qué resuelve, presidente? Tu discurso últimamente se convierte en abominación para mi gente. Partido sistema permanente, derechos civiles cero, libertades pocas, opresiones por la borda, sí. Nos aplastan como mosca, nos exprimen, nos explotan y nadie se atreve a abrir la boca. Un solo puño,
gigante estructura de materia negra.
Un solo puño,
mensaje de unidad al pueblo.
Un solo puño,
necesario y oportuno para toda la sociedad. Entrando al lado.
Vivimos como perros, bajo el excremento, la escombrera, el mal aliento, como cerdos en el fango estamos. Con parásito harapiento, sin dinero, sin derechos ni alimentos, maldito gobierno. Deterioro total, camino lento, no hay ascenso, discurso, palabrería, cuento. Hambre, miseria, represión, violencia, muertos. Auténtico, incrédulo, esto no lo sufre el pueblo. Dime, responde reverendo, dime. Tus palabras me dan sueño. Ven. Soy la voz de los sin miedo, ven, méteme preso, soy de aquí. Y respiro, pienso, siento. Por eso protesto, sé correcto, comprensible, seguro, directo. No hay progreso, desinformación al pecho, sí. Salarios bajos, mano de obra vieja, no hay trabajo. Jóvenes desvinculados, peligro social, 4 años por no ser esclavos del Estado. Estafados, utilizados, endeudados, trabajando por centavos. Desmoralizados, alcoholizados, asustados. Endeudados con los hijos, con la vida, sin salida, maldición, suelta la ira. El hombre actúa como piensa, sí. Entonces demuestra valentía, actitud, inteligencia. La pobreza se elimina con el pecho en la contienda. La libertad con el fusil en la guerra. Un solo puño,
gigante estructura de materia negra.
Un solo puño,
mensaje de unidad al pueblo.
Un solo puño,
necesario y oportuno para toda la sociedad. Entrando al lado.
Un solo puño,
gigante estructura de materia negra.
Un solo puño,
mensaje de unidad al pueblo.
Un solo puño,
necesario y oportuno para toda la sociedad. Entrando al lado.
This was Insubordinado, a band a colleague of mine collected during her field work in Cuba. And I played it because they are a forbidden hip-hop band. Hip-hop is in Cuba form of art, which often is used to express concerns about the government. And it is forbidden. Most of the people from this group are in jail now, or maybe dead, we don't know. But I think maybe we can talk about this question: what comes after the revolution, or came after Tunisia? When you think about Egypt, Syria, Bahrain, and now Spain, the Spanish Revolution, which is just going on right now. I don't know, Fetus, what do you think? How is it for you when you hear that now in Spain the people are also protesting?
Well, actually, I'm very happy. I'm very happy that the protests spreads up, you know, because I for myself lived in many countries. I was forced to exile by Ben Ali, so I was forced to finish my studies in the U.S. and then in Europe. I worked in the U.S., Canada, Europe, Western Europe. And anyway, so yeah, I think it's very good that the protests and this revolution spread out, because I think the, you know, we're living in a new world order kind of dominated by corruption, different levels of corruption, where there is no transparency. Even in democracies, there is some type of transparency, but not. We've seen with WikiLeaks, for example, how the U.S. was, like, you know, doing all the dirty business in Iraq and Afghanistan. How they're lying, how they were lying about it, and I'm sure, like many other countries, have a lot of things to hide. Having inducing change is something interesting. It's always interesting to induce change. The way politics used to be with the right and left and, you know, all the dirty politics, the dirty side of politics is something has been, and it has to change. And it's a matter of survival for humanity that it changes, so that we hope something with more direct democracy, something with real peace, not like peace that we talk about, human rights, that these powers and these what's called democracies are talking about, and they don't actually enforce. They actually, you know, whenever they can go to fight, they go to war, whenever, you know. So it has to change. I think revolution is something that's starts with one person, I think, and it's on a personal level that you have to make a revolution with yourself. And then, you know, many people that kind of change, like, you know, understood kind of what they're looking for. And if they rally and everything, it could make a big difference. So, yeah, it could be interesting. If you see in many countries, there's a lot of old people in power. And I have nothing against old people. But, that, like, you know, when you see old people, they're not that good. Like, you know, they started to get on the internet and everything. But those people never actually grew up with the internet, with the idea of sharing, with the idea of everything open, with the idea of I put all my life on Facebook and I don't care about it. They were like more accustomed to to other types of ideas. I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. But I think it could be something good, and it will be something good no matter what's the end of it, how it ends. Because it's gonna, you know, they're gonna be debating, they're gonna be a lot of things, and they're gonna be, you know, it's gonna make a buzz, like, you know, when they, like, in Spain now, I'm sure that there are other countries that are looking at that, and other youth that are looking at the movement, and they're thinking, oh, maybe we could do something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's gonna become like, yeah, it's gonna become like something more broad, and I hope it's going to be for the right things, you know, for some values that are good for the humanity, you know, all in all, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure many European politicians are now quite afraid about what happens in Spain. The reasons for this protest were also that people were unsatisfied with the job situation. You had 20% unemployed in Spain, and even 40% under the youth population, and they just don't feel heard from the political caste. And the interesting thing in Spain is also that it is a very broad protest movement. You have very young people, you have very old people, you have I don't know if there are many rich people, but it goes from students over workers to unemployed. The whole society is in there. But, yeah, the interesting question is for me, you can organize protests over the internet. It makes this thing much more easier, and we see that it can be done. But how can you use the internet to improve the government, the governance of it.
Yeah.
You know, after the revolution, that's also the core thing I wanted to talk with you about today. And maybe we have some minutes left to go into that. How could one use the internet to create a better system, a more balanced system, maybe something on the lines of liquid democracy or direct democracy, or I don't know. But yeah, we have to invent or imagine something new to make real progress.
Yeah, I think, yeah, internet, and the role of internet can be... actually, internet now is becoming very interesting with the revolutions and everything, because at some point, I think when I started, internet was still interesting because there was a lot of fight about the freedom of expression, because internet was not governed by anybody, and it was like it was a free area, you know, those free zones or whatever they call it, the Hakim Bey book, I don't think he was talking about them a lot. So it was like a free zone when you can get there and it's complete freedom. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was like, yeah, the government didn't like it, the police didn't like something. I'm sure there was a lot of illegal things going on as well. Like in every, like, you know, the internet is a mean. It's not something bad or good. It's good, actually, and it's another mean, and it's balancing the power of media. You know, it would help people get more engaged into politics, some type of politics where, for transparency, for sure, it could be helpful. I don't know exactly how it could replace a government, but why not one day, like, the internet would replace a government, you know?
I don't think that we can replace the government with the internet. I don't want to be ruled by 4chan.
No, it's not certain, but, like, you know, there would be people, but they're, like, you know, everything would be open and everybody, there would be, like, some kind of democracy out of internet, you know? Everybody would have their... Yes,
it is a new medium, and you can visualize opinions with it. You can organize people very efficient, and it scales. At least some technologies scale very good. And these opportunities, I mean, we are not there yet. We have no running implementation of liquid democracy, which really drives a state, or only a party. But I think we have to do these field experiments, and it depends on many factors, and we can only try and find out where it is suitable and where not. Definitely it is a good start to have open data and open government, and be as transparent as possible and understand the state as something which is there to work for the people, not against them. I don't know if the consensus in the general population is that good, if it comes to more than just democracy and the change. If it gets more specific, like, okay, in which Tunisia do we want to live?
It's problematic, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I think they're not going nowhere. They're going nowhere because, like, many people are not happy. It's just now a matter. And they, if they're going to continue making these mistakes, they're going to be, like, you know, they're not going to... Even elections now, many people, they don't care about the elections. There are people, there are some part of people that... Yeah, maybe 50%, 60% of 50% of the people, yeah, they want elections and everything, and there's 50% that they don't care anymore about the election. They want to know the truth, they want justice, they want the freedom to be enforced, they want whatever, and then we'll talk about election. We're not, like, you know, we're not like in a hurry to do elections. We're in a hurry to get rid of these old guys. But if we do elections and it's gonna give them legitimacy, so they're gonna come in back. you know, that's the big problem. So that's why we don't want elections. Although if they do elections, what they don't do, as far as I talk about in the name of Takriz, you know, that's like our group. Our group, we don't care. We do groundwork. We did build some good leaders in the young generation, and we're going to continue working on that. We're going to continue putting pressure. I hope with the help of Pirate Party, it's going to give us... We're not political. Pirate Party is going to help us do some political putsch for freedom, online freedom. Our site has been censored, by the way. After 4 months, it has been censored. We stayed from the revolution. We won 4 months of internet freedom thanks to Ben Ali. Actually, Ben Ali, the day before he leave, a couple of days before he leave, opened the internet, you know, after his last speech. He said that he was going to open the internet, and he opened it. And then we stayed 4 months, and then they censored it again. I mean, it used to look like a fake 404, 404 not found. Now it looks like there is a military court, military court case against this page. That's why it's filtered. And So anyway, so for us, we don't have any aspiration of power or something like that. What we have, our power is mostly our guys, our members, their groups. And we're trying to spread out the network as far as we can, like as broad as we can in all the territory. We're affecting a lot of high schools, a lot of universities, a lot of groups of, a lot of artists, a lot of Tunisia, soccer, like football is very common, it's just like the most popular thing in Tunisia is football. So we have a lot of groups of, ultras, tifosis, those supporters group that are joining in. And we're working on the youth. Yeah, we're working on the youth, explaining to them that if it's, our motto for that, I don't know if you know that South Park episode where they have the turd and the douchebag. So that's actually the situation in Tunisia. It's like you're going to vote for a guy or another guy. It's like all have the same speech, you know? It's like, yeah, it's like, come on. I'm not going to vote for anybody. Let's do something. Give us justice. Give us freedom. Give us transparency. Give us things like that, you know? Be honest, be patriotic, try to build with us with what we're doing. We try to enhance the Tunisia. We try to enhance Tunisia. We're not trying to get, that's why we're anonymous. And we're not playing selfishly the game. So we're trying to push on that. And elections or not election, we'll see. You know, it's not something capital for us. Especially that, there is this interim government that's doing nothing. It's clear that we want to get rid of it, but as far as we think, whoever is gonna get his ass on those chairs, and those seats and those ministers and whatever is gonna think the same. I mean, it's gonna give you maybe 10-20% of who you are, of what you want, and then just work himself up. I don't think elections is and our revolution is gonna continue. It's not a revolution of 4 months or 3 months. It's gonna be a revolution of a couple of years. We're not in a hurry. We're doing the ground thing. We're giving them headache. That's why they're censoring our site. We've been we drive a lot of people. We're very active. Our ideas are very apolitical. We're not talking politics. We're not talking ideology. Oh, I'm left. I'm right. We don't talk about religion. We respect religion. We respect the people that choose whatever religion they want. I mean, in any way they want, We talk freedom, justice based on human rights. It's very important that human rights are respected, even if you're guilty, even if you did the crimes or whatever, it's not human to torture somebody or to, do some inhumane treatment to somebody. And so we're pushing for those changes.
Good, Vitus. Then I think we leave it there. And that was quite a good and long end statement. But I think we got your point. And I really wish you the best. I really hope the elections in July will turn out with a result which is a step forward.
Yeah.
And US Tech Rits continue to teach the people and to get information out and basically lobby for civil rights.
Yeah. And I would like to thank Hackerspaces for the opportunity. And it was good. But it's good to give you an update. And I hope, I hope the movement, even in Europe, if there's some kind of spark coming from, from the citizens, it's actually good. I think that's how we can evolve the society. if we can stay, watch TV and digest information and just be like passive about it, nothing's going to happen. No.
We'll see it in Spain. It is really going on right at this moment, and their Sunday will be the really interesting day. By the way, to get the date right, we have May 19th, we started this recording. We are over midnight right now, just for people tuning in later. And yes, you can comment on my site, talkingantropology.com, and also contacts can be forwarded there if you want to talk with Fötus. That's it for today. Social Hack says goodbye. I hope you enjoy the show, and I will give you another piece of the Cuban hip-hop. Actually, this piece is about the importance of hip-hop for those people in Cuba who use it as a form of expression to criticize their government. And yeah, that was it for today with Post-Revolution. Go on and protest for a better world. I think we need it. Goodbye.
Yo, papá un bendico en la casa, hip hop todo el tiempo, es así man, Real 70, dándote lo que te toca, siéntelo como yo lo siento, ajá, yo, yo, hip hop es mi causa, mi credo y posición. Hip hop mi naturaleza, mi mayor pasión. Hip hop mi inspiración, mi fuerza y voluntad. Hip hop mi desnudez, mi única verdad. Hip hop mi necesidad, respiración, alimento. Hip hop es lo que late aquí adentro, es lo que siento. Hip hop yo represento al hablar, al caminar. Hip hop mi expresión, mi manera de actuar. Hip hop no es llevar en el cuello esas cadenas. Hip hop no es esos culos de esas chicas tan buenas. Hip hop no es esa escena de drogas y disparos. Hip hop no es esos dólares ni esos coches caros. Hip hop no es el descaro de Rap City y MTV. Hip hop no es esas copias que vendió ese CD. Hip hop no es Nelly, no es Yarrul, entiende a Cere. Hip hop no es esa mierda que el chico pop prefiere. Hip hop son los placeres espirituales de este ente. Hip hop quema mi ser, es el fuego más ardiente. Hip hop es mi presente, mi pasado, mi futuro. Hip hop es lo que hace que me sienta tan seguro. Hip hop rompió ese muro y me conocí a mí mismo. Hip hop penetró, se convirtió en un formulismo. Hip hop mi socialismo, revolución y bandera. Hip hop mi consigna de luchar otra manera. Esa moda que tiende a debilitarse. Hip hop no es algo que con el tiempo pueda olvidarse. Hip hop no es pasarse en las nubes todo el día. Hip hop no es juego, payasada ni bobería. Hip hop no es monomanía, esquizofrenia ni locura. Hip hop no es retardo ni falta de cordura. Hip hop no es esa basura que piensa usted señor. Hip hop no es americanismo, interiorice por favor. Hip hop es valor, rebeldía, cimarronaje. Hip hop es amor, poesía, mensaje. Hip hop es ese tatuaje que va marcando mi vida. Hip hop mi solución, mi escape, mi salida. Hip hop sanó mis heridas, en la oscuridad fue mi luz. Hip hop mi religión, mi Dios, mi Jesús. Hip hop será mi cruz, con él en la boca voy a morir. Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, si gracias a ti pude vivir. Hip hop no es prostituir desenfrenadamente tu arte. Hip hop no es ante el jefe humillarte, rebajarte. Hip hop no es olvidarte de dónde saliste, cojones. Hip hop no es lo que haces si no me convencen tus razones. Hip hop no es asociaciones, no es conveniencia. Hip hop definitivamente no lo es esa agencia. Hip hop no perdió la esencia, él aquí en nosotros. Hip hop es esto y no sé qué será lo otro. Hip-hop.